So, Father God, we give you praise today. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for whose we are. We are yours. We're your children. Oh, God, and we take great comfort in that. We take great comfort in being able to climb up into your lap, Father, and to be loved on by you and protected by you in these calamitous times, in these uncertain times, in these unprecedented times. We know that you continue to love us in an unfailing manner, and that as we rely upon you, as we seek your face, as we listen attentively to your voice, that you will direct us. For your word declares that if we acknowledge you in all our ways, you will direct our paths. That's a promise, and we're holding on to it because a promise is a promise. Hallelujah. So God, we pray your blessing upon these who are here with us live and those who will watch by replay or hear by replay what you would share with us today. We ask God that you would help us, Lord, to really get out of the teaching everything that you intend for us to get out of it. That it won't be just some dry lesson, but that it is applicable to our daily lives, and that it helps inform us about the season in which we presently find ourselves. Ah, Holy Spirit, I give you praise right now. I thank you that you are the teacher. I yield to you to have your way. Bless now each one under the sound of my voice, Lord. Look on the sick and afflicted, God, those with any kind of ailment or dis-ease, God, we speak comfort and peace and healing to them. Now, body, mind, and soul, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Good to have you all here once again. Minister Felicia, good to see you. Praise God. So we are in the Old Testament book of Haggai. As I said, if you need to check the table of contents to see where that is, feel free to do so. It's one of those books that you don't necessarily hear a whole lot about. We don't teach from it very often, but it is a right now word for us, even though it was thousands of years ago that the book was written and that the events in the book actually happened. It is in between the Z's of the Old Testament. It's in between Zephaniah and Zechariah. And we had begun last week talking about the topic that we're using this month, which is back to the future. Back to the future. Right. And so we find that the people of God here in this particular situation had returned from captivity in Babylon, long way away. They were there for a long time, and it wasn't nothing pretty, right? Terrible thing. They were essentially in slavery, as it were, once again, over in Babylon this time. And so about 538 BC, they had begun then the first wave. There are a couple of waves of return to the land of Judah. And so on this first wave here, they had been back for probably what? 538 to 520, about 18 years, 15, 18 years, somewhere in there. And getting themselves reacclimated to the situation. Good morning, Sister Shannon. Getting themselves reacclimated to life back home. Now, I will remind you that some of the folks who came back had never been back. They were literally born in Babylon. They didn't even know about Judah, right? And so here they are finding themselves literally back to their future in Judah, along with the older folks, some of whom, the very oldest ones at least, would remember how things were before. And I want you to understand in a practical sense right now that we at Deliverance Temple, and you know, really throughout the whole world, but I'm I'm speaking to y'all here who follow the voice of things happening and being spoken at the Deliverance Temple Ministries, that we are in a back to the future type situation. We have been on lockdown for months now, away from our building, away from the temple, the physical structure of the temple at Deliverance Temple Ministries. And we've had to improvise. We've had to do some things very differently. And here we are now, soon, I won't tip my hand too much there, but soon we'll be returning to the literal building for services. That's coming. And as I've been telling you for months now, there is an after these things season that's coming. There's an after these things season that's coming. It won't be this way always. And I want you to know that what's happening is, can I say, bigger than coronavirus? What's happening is my friend Tina Moore calls a global reset. A global reset. We've had time to pause, to check some things out, to reevaluate our priorities. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And to really begin to reposition ourselves for moving forward. And so although in some respects we're going back to the familiar, going back to what we know, I want you to understand that it's very different from here forward. The world has changed. We've moved into a different season. And you need to be aware of that. You need to know that this is not as it was. Things are not what they were. Things may appear to be the same, but they are indeed not. And you do well to keep that in mind. So here the people of God come back, and I think I will probably just quickly read through from verse 1 here so that we maintain a good context. But I want to point out some things to you today, hopefully quickly, as I've got about 40 minutes left and about 400 minutes of information running in my head here. So we'll see if we can squeeze some of that down and at least get through this first chapter, maybe both of them, today, all right? So I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. You grab anyone you like. I'm okay with that. And we want to begin at verse 1. This is verse 1, chapter 1 of the Old Testament prophet Haggai, H-A-G-G-A-I, if you're still checking in the table of contents for that, all right? In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, and these dates are important, I want you to understand, and I'll point them out as we kind of go along here, so you get a sense of the timeline of what's happening. Timing is very important. And on the 31st of December, 2019, God spoke a word through me. Good morning, minister. God spoke a word through me to the gathered folks at our watch night service. And he said, among other things, that in 2020, I'm going to give you a new relationship with time. Now, that's kind of just a strange kind of what? But I think we can attest to the fact that we have been experiencing over these past many months now a transition into a new relationship with time. We don't think of time necessarily in the same way that we did, say, last year, this time. And yet, time is important. You know, I'm not throwing out my clocks and calendars, but what I am wanting to do and what I'm wanting you to understand is that God has a timetable, and it doesn't always run the same way your clocks and calendars do. And if one should take precedent over the other, let me suggest very strongly to you that it is God's timing, his calendar, his clock, that should take precedent over the standard clocks and calendars that we are normally referring to. Okay? So in the second year of Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Quickly, remember that one is governmental, secular, if you will. That would be Zerubbabel. Fun name, another Z word. And the other is Joshua, the high priest. So there you have the religious or church side of things, as it were. And the word of the Lord comes to both of them. Now, I know we've got this whole separation of church and state thing in the United States, and that's very, very good in a lot of ways. But understand that God is not subject to the rules of man. He makes his own rules. And so when he's speaking to, you know, in this particular case here, he's speaking to everybody. He's speaking to the whole secular side of things, the whole governmental side of society, as well as the whole religious side, the whole church side of society. The word that's coming to us is for all of our life. It's for the whole life. It's not for this compartmentalized kind of approach to life where, okay, for a couple hours on Sunday, we do church. The other 166, I do what I want. Bad idea. He wants all of our attention all the time because he's wanting to be engaged and involved with all of our life, our whole life. Let me tell you this, that he has at all times your best intention. His intentions for you are the best for you all the time. All the time. That's right, minister. Your whole life. All the various little pieces of it, all the pieces you thought he didn't care anything about, wasn't concerned about, he is. And so the word comes to both Zerubbabel, the governor, the secular side of society, and to the religious side of society here through Joshua the high priest, both leaders, and he's speaking to leadership. Man, there's so much here. I wish I had like 10 weeks, but I'm going to try to get through some of this today. Y'all just hang with me for a minute, all right? Thank you. So verse 2. Yeah, I'm just in verse 2. Help me, Jesus. Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. I told you last week, who are you to tell God what time it is? I would suggest that you don't engage in that, but that you listen instead. Verse number 3, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Let me point out to you that this word consider, which is the Hebrew word sum, sin vav mem for the scholars out there. This word sum talks about placing something, setting something. I want to suggest to you that when God says here, consider your ways, he's asking you to look at where you set things. Look at the manner in which you're approaching things. Look at the priorities in your life, where you have placed things, what order you have placed them in. Consider if what you've got is number 5 or 6 or 73, maybe should be number 1. Consider that might be why you're having such a hard time, he says to the people here. Consider your ways. Take account of where you've set things in your life, how you've placed and ordered things in your life. Is this making sense? I hope so. Verse 6, you've sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one's warm enough. And he who earns wages earns them to put them in a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, number 7, verse 7, second time, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring the wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Now here, I want you to get this. He's physically talking about a temple here, obviously. They're rebuilding the temple there in Jerusalem. But I want you to understand that as this word is coming to us today, we're on this side of the cross, not that side of the cross. So I want to take a moment to help you see this from another perspective, right? The New Testament tells us in several places, Paul very explicitly tells us that we are the temple of God. We are the temple of God. Peter says that we're lively stones being built up into the temple. So I want to suggest to you that as this word comes to us in 2020, somebody getting it, praise God. Thank you, minister. I want to suggest to you that as this word is coming to us in 2020, that as he's saying, go and bring the wood and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and glorified. He wants to be pleased with us and through us to be glorified in the earth. In other words, that his view of things, how he sees it, the picture he has in his mind, he means to manifest in the earth through us. But can I suggest to you, I'm going to, that he can't do that if our priorities are completely out of alignment with that picture that he has in mind. If our priorities and our activities are completely out of alignment with his glory, if our priorities and our cares and concerns are in a disordered fashion, he comes to us with this word, consider your ways. Consider where you've set things. Consider where you've placed things in your life. Consider the priorities that are making up your activities. If anything, I'm hoping that this time of lockdown, this time during this pandemic, has caused us to reconsider our priorities. Now, I hear every week, every single week, somebody says, and they certainly say it on the morning worship call, somebody says, man, I can't wait till we get back together, till we physically back at church and that kind of thing. Okay, that's good. I hear you. I'm up with that. I'm up with that. But is it so that you can just get back to business as usual? Is it so that you can just resume life as it has been? Is it just so that that's one of your priorities? I mean, it's down the list, but it's on there. Like, well, you know, I do this, I do that. Oh, church, Sundays, I do that. And then, I mean, if it's just one amongst the number. Dr. Marshall says, rip up that list of how you think it should be. Amen. Just tear that thing up. He got a whole other plan, and we want to be on that plan, not on the one we conjured up. Yes, it conjured. So anyway, start rebuilding, he says, this temple. Because your priorities have been out there. Your priorities have been on stuff. Verse 9. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. I hope you're getting the picture this morning. Good morning, sweet Bree. I hope you're getting the picture this morning. He's not talking to us in 2020 about the church building. We got a church building. You still drive by. There it is. It's there. Waiting for us. That's done. But this building is what he's talking about. Rebuild, rearrange, consider your ways. You have prioritized. Now listen, I'm not trying to fuss this morning. Please understand, I am not trying to fuss at y'all. This word comes to all of us. Every one of us. But I want you to get very clearly the fact that it's time for change. It's time for transition. It's time to consider your ways. Consider where you've put things and placed things and prioritized things in your life. And see if maybe some of the issues that you're experiencing, some of the lack in your life, in whatever area or domain of your life that exists, maybe because your priorities are out of alignment. Now listen, I'm talking about individuals. I'm talking about families. I'm talking about whole ministries. Can I say I'm talking about whole denominations even? I could name a few, but that might just be my opinion. That needs some realignment and adjustment and reprioritization of what they're doing and how they're doing it. Because I'm not sure that it really is aligned with what God wants to do in this season and in the world. I'm not really sure that it's aligned with his glory, the picture he has in his mind about what it should be like, right? Oh, glory to God. I got to keep going. So, verse number 10, therefore, because of you, my God, have mercy. Listen carefully. I'm about to help somebody here with their Old Testament theology and with how you interpret things, because let me tell you real quick. A lot of folks think there is some major dichotomy between Old and New Testament with respect to who God is. Let me help you right now and point out the fact that God is God all the time. He's always been who he is. Doesn't change. He's not mean and evil in the Old Testament and nice and sweet and cuddly in the New Testament. No. And he's not schizophrenic. Sorry. No. That's not him. So listen carefully here as I break this down just real fast for you here. Check my time. Ooh, keep moving, Mark. All right, so he says in verse 10, therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. Verse 11, and I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, in fact, on all the labor of your hands. Listen carefully. Sounds like verse 10 and verse 11 are saying two different things, doesn't it? Sounds like he says, this is all your fault. This is the reason this has happened is because of you. That's pretty plain in verse 10. But then he turns right around and says, I call for drought. I call for this. Listen, I'm going to suggest to you, without you getting out your Hebrew lexicon and trying to figure this out, You can look it up later, but take my word for it now, okay? This word called, and the for isn't really even there, but this phrase called for, I called for, can also be interpreted, and I choose to do so here, proclaim, announce. And so he says in verse 10, because of you, this bad stuff is happening. Because of you, there is lack. Because of you, things aren't in order. And so I'm explaining to you, I'm proclaiming to you, this is why you got drought. This is why the land is not producing. This is why the grain and the new wine and the oil are not being produced. This is why, in fact, everything from men to cattle and all the labor of your hands is going to naught. He says, I'm explaining to you that that's what's happening. So 10 and 11 are not opposed to each other. It is a complete thought. We get this idea that, you know, we do stupid stuff and God smacks us around. Can I suggest to you, I'm going to, that we reap our own consequences. Let me break this off to you a little more. Let me help somebody here a little more, in fact. I ain't got time to develop this, but you're going to get it and run, hopefully. Some of you will go check it out, study it yourself. Y'all remember the whole Garden of Eden thing, right? So here's God creating man. And we see he forms him out of the dust of the earth. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me for a second. He forms him out of the dust of the earth. And then he breathes into him the breath of life, and man becomes a living soul. Nefesh is the Hebrew word there, right? Understand that man is connected to this earth, and man is also connected to God. And so when man is acting up, there are effects in the earth because he's connected to it. When Adam fell, then the curse, as it were, came upon the earth. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 8 over in the New Testament. And he says, in fact, in verse 20 or so there of the chapter 8, the whole creation is got its fingers crossed hoping for the revelation of the sons of God, because that's their only hope. That's creation's only hope of restoration. That's creation's only hope that it can quit throwing up temper tantrums and flipping out and volcanoes and hurricanes and craziness. The only hope of that turning around is man himself. Because that's how it got this way in the first place. They're connected. All right, I ain't got time to mess with that. He says it's your fault. There it is, verse 10. Your fault. And so I'm just proclaiming in verse 11, this is what's going on. This is what you're looking at. This is why things are where they are. Verse number 12. As I check my clock. Verse number 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, that's the government side, that's the secular side of things. Quit throwing shoes at me, woman. And Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, that's the church side of things, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed. Hallelujah. There it is. Obedience. Not arguing with God, I don't think that's what's happening here. That's not my analysis of what's going on. I think something else had gone down, and that's what caused this to be how it is, God. I don't think that it's my fault. I don't think that, I don't think I did anything to cause any, you know, I've been good all my little life. Shut up. Quit arguing, making excuses. Get on the same page that he's on. Obey what he's telling you. Trust that he has your best interest at heart all the time. He's never going to lead you wrong. He's never going to lead you into destruction and calamity. That's not what he does. We do that plenty on our own. We're real good at that by ourselves. They obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, verse 12, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. That's a good idea. 13, got to keep moving. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by the commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. Verse 14, so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. He about to get into government, y'all. I know things are crazy right now. I know things are real crazy right now, but he about to make an appearance. He about to stir some things up. So the spirit of the Lord stirred the spirit up of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua. See this combination, see this thing all through here. There's not one without the other. I'm telling you, God wants to move in your whole life. God wants to move in your whole situation. God wants to move on those things that you don't consider spiritual, as well as the things you do consider spiritual. It's all spiritual. It's all one life. And he wants to be in all of it. Oh, bless God. So he stirs them up. And the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Y'all wonder what's wrong with the folk? Starts at the top. Very oftentimes, folks, it's the leadership that needs to get a clue and get on the same page as God is to begin to help the folks get stirred up about things. Otherwise, you back in the days of judges where every man did what was right in his own mind. You know, that's chaos. Yeah? So they came and they worked. Oh, Lord. Could have gone all day without saying that word. They came and they worked on the house of the Lord. We need to work on the house of the Lord. We need to work on the temple. We need to consider our ways and do some work on the temple. This all happened on the 24th day of the sixth month. Keep that in mind. Understand. Of the year of Darius the king. We're into chapter 2. Yes, this is the last chapter of the book. I think we may actually get done today. I hope so. So we can get to Zechariah the last 2 weeks. Understand that you'll find, quickly, just a quick note so on the side, you'll find the word of the Lord coming to Zerubbabel and to Joshua in both Haggai and Zechariah. These guys were prophesying during the same period of time to the same folks, right, that had come back from Babylon. All right, chapter 2. On the 21st day of the seventh month, okay, we're about a month later now, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, verse 3, who is left among you? Oh, my God. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? He calling for the old heads. There's some folk that you know, they got to be like 90, right? Who saw the temple in its former glory before it got destroyed and everything, before they were jerked up and carried off to Babylon, right? They saw, they remember how beautiful it was, how ornate and glorious things were. Can I tell you, that sometimes the good old days were just the old days. We have a tendency sometimes to glamorize. Not that it wasn't, you know, we had some fun. We did some, it was good. But sometimes we go a little overboard with our glamorization of the past. And that helps to keep us stuck in the past. We're pining away for what was instead of what God is doing now. Okay, it's quiet in here. All right, I'm gonna keep going. All right, here we go. Who among you is left? This is verse 3, chapter 2, Haggai. Who among you is left who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? Verse 4, but take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all you people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord. I know things look bad now. I know things look rough now. I know it looks like it will never be like it was. I know it looks like the good old days are gone and they ain't coming back. And woe is me and all of this and what is us gonna do? I get that. Haggai got that. He says, you're looking at this temple and it looks like nothing compared to what it was, right? I get that. He said, but I want you to take courage, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. Let me tell you quickly that the presence of the Lord makes all the difference. In whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is you're doing, it may look like it ain't about much right now for a minute. You can't even see the vision God has in mind for the thing. You're trying to find the pieces to make them fit. But he says, I'm with you. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, then. So I'm going to work. I'm going to put in work because he's with me. That's all I need to know, Lord. Okay, I'm good. I'm on it. He says, work, for I'm with you. Verse 5, as for the promise which I made when you came out of Egypt, he said, you want to talk about old school, old times? Let me go all the way back to Egypt with you. My spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. You don't have to fear when God is with you. Verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, say it with me, y'all, once more, one more again. In a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of the nations. And I will fill this house with glory. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. He says the wealth of the nations is coming your way. I'm shaking things up. Oh, yeah. Verse number 8. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, here's where I'm going, y'all. I could throw shoes myself, Minister Regina, right here. I could throw shoes myself. That's right, Sister Shannon. Take courage and work. He is with us. Verse 9. The latter glory of this house, says the Lord, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. And in this place, I shall give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. I got to camp out here for a quick minute and tell you that when I think about Deliverance Temple Ministries, and I've been around for a little while, y'all. When I think about Deliverance Temple Ministries and I think about the little storefront church over on the corner of Sherman and Division, it's a little pizza place now. 834 East Division it was. and how we'd crowded up in that little spot, shout down the glory and what have you. I mean, it was tiny and it was humble. But the glory of God was there, and the presence of God was there. We moved over to 2101 West Chestnut Expressway. Beautiful place, more room than we ever imagined. And in 2002, an arsonist set fire to the church and burned it up. Again, Pastor Marshall, what is us going to do? What are we going to do now? Where do we go from here? So we built a new edifice, the one we're in presently. So we've seen some things progressed, but can I tell you that as much as we shouted down the victory in them other places, we didn't have some of the things that we now have. Can I tell you that sometimes your life is just waiting to catch up with what God has got in mind for you already? We did not have this kind of technology when the church was started in the 70s. We didn't have this kind of technology when we moved over to 2101 West Chestnut Expressway. We didn't have this kind of technology. We were not able to reach people across the United States, around the world, with the flip of a switch, push of a button. Can I tell you that the glory of this house, what God is doing presently and what he has in mind for us going forward, Deliverance Temple, is bigger than we have ever imagined. It's greater than we've ever imagined. Although we look at the building and say, well, it's the same building. You can put about 300 people in there max. That's, you know, I guess you could go to two services maybe if you had enough people. And well, you're still thinking too small. You're looking, oh my God, I made a note about it. Yeah, I make notes. I just grab an envelope sometimes, like when it hits me, like boom, I got to get this thing down. Don't judge. You can laugh though. Can I tell you that we have to believe bigger? This is how I heard it. We have to believe bigger than that which is evident in your immediate sight. I'm going to say that again real slow. We must believe bigger than that which is evident in our immediate sight. We must reimagine, Minister Regina. We must reimagine. Because what God has in mind is bigger than what we have even allowed ourselves to believe. The glory, that is the manifested vision of God, how he sees things and wants things to actually be in our lives, the manifested glory of God of the latter house, the thing he's building now in us, shall be greater than that of the former house. I got about 5 minutes. I'm going to run through this. I just need you to get that point if you didn't get anything else today, though. That's some shouting stuff right there. We got to believe bigger than what we see. Otherwise, we just come back, business as usual, same old thing. We don't imagine with God. We don't see with God the greater glory that he wants to do in us and through us. Not just in that building, yes, there, but also in us. Through us. He has huge, huge plans. Can I tell you, God has huge vision? You think you got a great imagination? God has huge vision, huge imagination. And he declares to you, Deliverance Temple, that the glory of this former house not going to be comparable to the thing he's doing here. Don't despise the day of small things. Don't think just because we are small in number or small in you know, building relative to somewhere else. Don't get it twisted. Don't Don't get caught up in the comparison game. Well, they got more members. Or they got a bigger church. Well, they got a 12-acre campus over there. They're doing 6 services a day. Don't get caught up in the hype of comparison. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Help, Lord. I'm going to read the rest of this real quick. We are down to chapter 2 and verse number 10. On the 24th day of the 9th month, we started in the 6th month. Then the word came again next month in the 7th month. We're up to the 9th month now, okay? Moving on through the year. The word came to the prophet saying, verse 11, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests for a ruling. If a man carries, I wish I had time. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches bread with this fold or cooked food, wine, oil, or any other food, will it become holy? And the priest answered and said, no, no, it doesn't rub off like that. Then he says, if one is unclean from a corpse, touches any of these, will the latter become unclean? And the priest answered, it will become unclean. Verse 14, then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. But now, verse 15, but now, consider from this day forward. I'm telling you, the trap of comparison is not just about things. The trap of comparison is not just about things around you, other ministries, other people, other situations. The trap of comparison is also the trap of comparison is also in looking back and comparing what was with what he's trying to do now. Watch out for that. Deliverance Temple, we can't afford to do that. Yes, appreciate your past, appreciate your history. But we can't afford to allow that to overshadow or set out of priority what God is doing for us right now. Give me 2 minutes. So we find God saying, consider your ways in chapter 1. Here, Haggai reminds him in chapter 2, consider. Here's the word of the Lord to you. I know you've been doing things sideways. I know you've been messing up. I know you haven't got it straight. That's why you're in the shape that you're in. He said, but I want you to consider this. Consider what time it is, because it's a new day dawning. It's a new day dawning, Deliverance Temple. Verse 15, now consider this. From this day onward, before one stone was placed on another in the temple of the Lord, from that time when one came to the grain heap of 20 measures, and there was only 10. You need 20, there's only 10. That's a problem. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, and there was only 20. You need 50. And there's only 20, that's a problem. How many of y'all know city utilities want all their money? Don't be coming like, I got 10 on it. No, they ain't trying to hear that. Somebody know about experiencing some lack. Somebody know about some lean times. Verse 17, I smote you. I ain't got time. I smote you and every work of your hands with the blasting wind, mildew, and hail. Yet you did not come back, declares the Lord. Do consider, though. There's that consideration again. Check it out. Check yourself. Verse 18. Do consider from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month. He said, that's where it is now. From the day when the temple of the Lord was founded, consider. He says, look back, consider from that time to this, and then I also want you to consider looking forward. That's what he's saying here. Stay with me. I'm almost done. Consider, verse 19, is the seed still in the barn, even including the wine and the fig and the pomegranate and the olive? It is not borne fruit. He said, you've been planting, you've been sowing, but it hasn't come up. It hasn't developed. The things, the plans you laid have not borne fruit. Things have been sideways. Looked like everything was cursed. Looked like you couldn't make anything go right. Oh, I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody on here know about that. Maybe you, Dr. Elisa, you know. You know. Every single thing looked like it's going wrong at the same time. It was the perfect storm for the perfect mess. He says, consider. Verse 20. Or 19, let me finish that. Even the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive, not born fruit. He said, yet, from this day. He said, mark this day down. Take note, on the 14th day of June 2020, from this day forward, I will bless you. Somebody ought to shout right there. From this day forward, I know how things have been. I know how things have looked. I know what didn't go right, but that has got nothing to do with what I'm doing now in this season of your life. As you understand, I'm with you. As you begin to work on the temple, as you begin to move forward in the plan of God for this season, he says, I will bless you. It's a new day. It's a new day. Then the word of the Lord came a second time to Haggai on the 24th day of the ninth month. Same day. God hit him again, said, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah. I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy the power of kingdoms of the nations. I will overthrow the chariots of their riders and the horses, and the riders will go down, everyone by the sword of one another. I want you to understand in these closing moments that God is going to take a stand against those who have opposed you, those who have oppressed you, those who have kept you underfoot. God is throwing them off. God is fighting for you in this season. Last verse and we're done, y'all. Verse 23, chapter 2, we did it. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. He's chosen you, Deliverance Temple. He's chosen you. He's going to make you like a signet ring. That means his authority is with you. His authority is with you. When you put your stamp on it, so it shall be. It's a new day. It's a new season. A new glory of God is ready to be revealed through this temple. Ah, we're going back to the future, y'all. And it's a good future. It's a golden future. Listen, I'm about 5 minutes over time. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me today. I hope that this has been a blessing to you. If you missed any part of it, please go back and check the replay. It will be available also in audio very soon on our Deliverance Temple Ministries website and for call-in as well. God bless you, Sister Beth. God bless you. Appreciate you. All right, so until next week, I'm signing out. Those of you who are able to do so, and I think that's probably all of you, do chime in on the morning worship call. The conference call will be happening at 11 o'clock this morning. It's going to be exciting. We've got some great announcements for you there. You will not want to miss this service. God bless you. We're going back to the future. See you next week. Bye-bye.